Title of the message is Faith and Prayer. Kind of a complex issue. And it is the last message of James. I am planning on going to Mark next Sunday. So I will read from James 5, 13 through 19, or the end of the, or 20. If anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. And thus ends the book of James. This is a very difficult subject for me to talk about because I think prayer is very personal. I think your faith, and then when you add faith to it, it is very personal also. Both prayer and faith, in my way of thinking, seeks to speak or to communicate with God. We're looking through prayer and our faith to communicate with God. And the way I see the general difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is, or at least from Moses on, was that you basically had to go and intercede, priests had to intercede for you. That was generally the way it was done, not only in Israel, but along with other cultures. You had a high priest, and you went in, and you had times and seasons in which you went and confessed your sins, and Day of Atonement. The Jewish faith still has the Day of Atonement. Atonement is only the setting aside of sins. That's generally how the Old Testament did. It wasn't necessarily forgiving. It was a setting aside until the time come later. Basically, it was supposed to be, and the way I understand things, is that it was until the time of Christ, and then Christ would forgive the sins of other people, and thus it would restore communication with the Holy Spirit. The problem with what was the way the situation is in the Middle East now is that the ownership of the land is very important with the cleansing of the land, of the people and the forgiveness of the sins. So Israel has to own the land, the Palestinians have to own the land. The ownership of land is part of the healing process and the forgiveness and the atonement and thus that's why we're warring. Basically, the Middle East is over a dispute over the land. Ownership of the land. That's where, and the importance of it is that there will be no forgiveness or atonement of the people's sins until that time comes. The rebuilding of the temple is a part of that too. But I don't align myself with any of that. That to me is not what Jesus was about. Jesus was about coming and restoring communication. Or I wrote down partially restoring, because it's not necessarily one-to-one. We're not, because we still live in this physical realm, and we're eventually going to be in the heavenly realm, in which we see face-to-face. But now we still communicate through the Spirit. And as each one is personally has that open line. I see it, as I said before, the difference between a dial-up service and a DSL service. That's kind of how I look at it. We're constantly online. I think where the old dial-up services is, you had to go to the priest, and there you took care of it. So you had to dial it up and to get online in order to communicate and do it. Now it is, you have DSL and broadband, everybody can communicate anytime you want. That's how I see the general distance, a difference between the two. Adam and Eve, in the story of Genesis, walked with God. We don't walk with God in the sense we physically walk with God. That time is coming later. There's a communication line, like a phone line, in between. You can think that way too. But I don't necessarily like that analogy because we're supposed to be online all the time. So I think that, because you're supposed to pray without ceasing. So I understand that the difficulty, we've talked about it before, praying without ceasing. I think it should be in the back of your mind all the time. So you pray as much as you can, as often as you can, because you're online all the time. So, and one of the big things were that Jesus talked about, which in the end I'm going to refer to, is that you're not supposed to have big lengthy prayers with big long words and flamboyantness. It's supposed to be very simple. So if you're online all the time, you can say, God help me now. And that's all you need. Or, you know, watch after this. Or, you know, you don't have to have these once a year flamboyant on and on and on and on. You're supposed to have, get to the point, basically, is what way I understand. Get to the point. Not everybody is in that, or the faiths are not all in that realm. The idea that you're online all the time, even today. I had very lot of difficulty in this message today, before I didn't know which direction to go. There's so much things that go on with faith and prayer. It's such a broad subject. I mean, we'd be here for days and days. So I had to really narrow it down, and I had really great difficulty narrowing all this down as to what I was really going to speak about. But I will, anyway, Islam requires 5 times a day to pray, even today. I have noticed several times that Islamic people will get their prayer blanket out, and they will pray along the side of the road. I see them. We see them in this. But there is a call to prayer 5 times a day, pre-dawn, noon, afternoon, sunset, and night. And then times change as the days lengthen and shorten. So, excuse me, it's kind of flexible. And basically, if you're out somewhere, you're supposed to pray by yourself. But generally speaking, you go to a mosque, and there you go and pray. No women pray in the mosque. Sorry. That's not a... they are to pray at home.
We don't want to defile the mosque with women in there.
Well, the men might get an urge that is, would not be. That's what
or
I read.
Or that.
And it might contaminate. that's what they say. So, whatever. They are to be at home and pray. And
so it's not that the women are bad, it's that the men might be bad.
You're
it's
thinking
that the men are very weak.
I knew that was going to happen.
That's you good did to too. Know.
Moving right along.
anyway, now the females got their opinion out, maybe I'll express mine too.
Watch it, your wife's today.
I know. Maybe that's what she hasn't heard before, so. Anyway, women are to pray at home, and the only time that they can lead a prayer if they're at home is if there's no males at home. So, I mean, we all know that is, yes.
That isn't in our Bible, is it?
No. What, with that women are not.
About
what?
The way the Muslims pray.
Well, no, but it does say that women are not supposed to lead in worship service, and they're not supposed to teach men. That is in the Bible, believe it or not. But it is a social, the way we get around that is that it was a social norm of the day because women weren't educated. So said, normally were not educated, and so that they couldn't lead but yeah, Paul disciplines the women and says that they are not to lead. And that is in the Bible. But there's a lot of things in the Bible that we don't take and don't use. So I'm not offended by allowing women to take the rightful position. I have no because women played a very important part. Yes, Mike?
It's pretty much back then, women were like this, and men were like this. But nowadays, we know like the actual woman's power, so women are like this, and men are like this.
Well, we're trying to...
We wish.
I don't think it's quite there yet.
We gotta get back and forth.
It's striving for equality. That's why I say equality, not justice. Because I don't want the revenge of a woman. I'll take the equality, but not the revenge. So women played a very important part in the church. So if you think that women were not involved in the church, even in the Old Testament, they were. The males wrote a lot of the stuff down, and it's there. The feminine aspect is in the Bible. You just have to look for it a little bit harder than
They're mainly singers.
They're what?
They're mainly singers.
Singers?
If you watch the movies about like how like the churches are and all that.
Oh, they sing. They sing.
There's a lot more women that sing then.
There's a lot of churches today that don't even allow women to participate. When I was growing up, the women sat on the left side of the church, and they were not allowed to teach. And yes. In the Mennonites, conservative Mennonites and the Amish still do that today. The women sit on one side of the church and the men sit on the other side. And they are not allowed to lead the service in any way.
They don't want the women to make the men feel jealous.
I think both have great talent and both should be utilized. And I think that Jewish faith is the same way. The Orthodox and the modern Orthodox and other strands of Judaism require religious prayers also, just for men though. Three times a week, every day through the week, four times on the Sabbath, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, five times are required to pray. Now we have a lot of secular Jews that don't adhere to a lot of it. A lot of the Jews that are running in the government, I shouldn't say some of them, are secular Jews. So they don't necessarily adhere to a lot of what I'm talking about. Hinduism also requires a time for prayer, three times a day, but they usually have a shrine inside their home and they pray as a family and whatnot. But they have many gods, and there's way I understand when you go over into India and a Hindu culture, there are many shrines along the way, and you can pray to various different gods. There's many gods, 100 and some, I don't know. Christianity does not require a particular time, just that you must. That's how I see it. So here again, Christianity, or what Christ taught, is that you're supposed to pray without ceasing, and you are to do it continually, but not at any particular time. A lot of people have different traditions that they do. They get up and have devotion to that prayer. This is why it's very personal. I think your prayer life is very personal. And if you want to share that, that's fine. I think that's very, very personal.
Do you pray without ceasing all the time? Are you asking for things or what? I mean, kind of hard.
I think it's a mental aspect in which you understand that the presence is there, but yet you don't necessarily have to be uttering something like, blah, 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 you know.
So your thoughts.
Yes, your thoughts are prayer. That's another form. Yes.
I believe like this is what I do. As I pray, I usually pray for other people. But let's say if I need something, like I need it, I pray for it. I pray for, like, to forgive my sins, and also pray for other people to get blessings.
Yeah, that's a good prayer life. Yes.
I don't do it all the time every day, but I do it.
I think praying without ceasing is constantly aware that the presence of God is there, and you don't have to know that be wanting things. Now, is prayer about wanting things?
and getting things? I don't think so.
I think it's praying to try to help other people.
Yeah.
Praying for to be thankful for what we do have. For instance, I am thankful for friends. They have been a real blessing to me, and I thank God for people stepping up and helping me.
See, now, here's where I get a little confused with James. James says if you're sick, that you should get prayed, and God will heal you. So, I guess, Jeannie, if you want your ankle healed, according to James...
Please, God, fix my ankle.
I'm not sure. Here's where I get a little confused. Because it says you can pray for anything, and you'll get it. And that's what we just read. But why do some prayers get answered and some don't?
Because we get it when we need it.
Well,
depends on what we pray for, too. Sometimes you pray for things you shouldn't even have.
I think a lot of it is we don't get instantaneous results. Eventually, Jeannie will be healed. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
And I appreciate that there are doctors who have the skill, and some of that may be partly God-given.
Some people believe that James is talking about using medicine. Not necessarily, yes, I've read that he is referring, like the anointment of oil is used for like a medicine, is used for anointing, for blessing, but it's also used for healing. So there is a person, I don't know Greek, so I can't go back and look at it and see what it actually says, but they claim that the one word means medicine refers to medicine, that it is actually referring to medicine and not necessarily faith healing. Faith healing is when you lay your hands on somebody and they instantaneously get healed. And that is what Jesus did. The early disciples did that. But what most church leaders believe or think that only happened in the early apostolic era, and that energy force, so to speak, ran out, and it didn't work anymore. So in other words, Peter and James and Paul passed it on to a couple people, and as they passed it on, the power of that waned out, and it no longer happens.
I know some of you have heard this story before. When I was in the accident, I swore there was an angel on my shoulder telling me not to turn my head. Everything would be okay. It wasn't a promise that I wouldn't hurt or that things would go back to the way they were, which they never did, and it still hurts. But that I had broken my neck, and by not turning my head, I wasn't paralyzed. So while the whole everything's going to be fine bit didn't mean right then or that nothing else would go wrong, it was that the worst I could imagine was not going to happen.
I think that's a form of listening to like a DSL, like I'm trying to say. You listen to the voice that was in your head, God is speaking to you. Don't turn your head. And I think you make a very good point. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be instantaneous for most of us. But then again, am I going to sit here and deny that miracles don't happen? No, I'm not. I think miracles do happen. And I believe in the power of prayer, for sure. But not everybody gets healed all the time. It's very complex. And my head just went spinning around in circles all, like, which direction am I going to go? Because, you have the faith healer, the Word of Faith movement, who says that, that you are to be healed. And they believe in healing and laying your hands on it, and supposedly people are being healed. Be careful. But I have yet to... If that really happened, then there would be a parade of people going out and saying that they're healed. Hank Hanegraaff is an evangelical who has a radio on a satellite radio program, has asked Benny Hinn to produce one person that was healed. And they are friends, and he has yet to bring one out that was healed. So, although I do believe,
I don't think that the Word of Faith movement is the way to go, myself. I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't quite think that that's somebody smacking you on the head and you're falling backwards. But then again, I believe in people being healed. So it's complex. It's really complex for me. I don't know which way. I can't say no, and I can't say yeah. It's very difficult for me.
I think the miracle is when he stops it before it happens. When you get done, you figure, boy, how'd that, he saved me.
That, I didn't understand what you're saying.
Like if you were going to get in a wreck, and then all at once when you get done with it, you think, well, how didn't it happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he stops it before it happens.
So how do we know he stopped it before it happened if it didn't happen?
Sometimes you're in your own mind, you didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, you had a close call and you made it through and you said, oh yeah, it was a miracle. See, it's very difficult when you go down this line and say, everything's a miracle and everything's not a miracle. You can't.
To me, I believe this was like God's miracle. One day I wrote something. And I didn't realize what it would do to me or anything else, especially my past. When I went, a couple of days after that, I started thinking about my past and I started blacking out. When I went, and then one day, I was having a really hard time. I was kind of going to bed early, took this coat off, checking my pockets, so I reached into my sweatshirt pocket, which I know the note I wrote was under a box. I never moved it. Well, I went like this, which I wear this coat all the time, so I could have put it there. I grabbed it, pulled it out, I opened it, and I read the note. And I believe God was telling me, this is why this is happening, and you got to try to better yourself from this.
That's about listening to God and trying to improve yourself along the way. I think that is a great point.
And to me, that was a miracle because it shouldn't have been in my pocket, it should have been under the box.
I've had enough of strange things happening to me that I just can't say that miracles don't happen.
Thank you.
What?
Just say thank you.
Yeah. A lot of my prayers are just thank you. It's like this week. Okay, it was really bitter cold. I'm driving my truck. It's 15 below, the zero all week. So do I pray for the weather to get warmer, or do I pray for safe travel through the cold weather? I pray for safe travel through the cold weather. I'm not going to bother to try to change the weather. I think that's, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah.
Well, I wish it was a lot warmer, like about 120.
There has been studies, and I've said this before, about Princeton, New Jersey, College of the University of Princeton, who has done studies on prayer. And there has been various different studies on prayer, and there is, they have done on weather, Princeton has, and they claim that, yes, prayer can change the weather. And there are people that won't know it anymore because you can make it rain. Like Elijah did.
It can't stop, right?
Huh?
But you can't make it stop.
The difficulty is making it stop. And that's the problem they ran into. You can't make it stop.
So if I make it,
you
like,
can read it online.
So I can make it heat up, I just can't make it stop heating up.
Well, if you pray for heat, how do you get... that's the problem they ran into. And so they won't do it no more. So where do we go? How do we see James? I would rather see James as saying about healing, that he's referring to medicine, because Luke was a doctor, and there was medicine, different types of medicine, and I think the power of medicine can be used by God and to heal us, and I think there's where I think James goes a little bit more than what I think he does, simply laying on your hands, because some translations say about the elders are supposed to lay their hands on people and they will be healed. I believe that happens. Don't get me wrong. I believe that happens. It just doesn't happen all the time, I guess. It's just, and so how do you say yes or no? Again, how are you going to say it? I don't know. This was the problem I had as I began to study, which way do I want to go, how direction do I want to go, which way do I want to push it. I don't.
You can't.
I don't know.
So he says that Elisha was a human being like we are. And anybody who reads the story of Elisha and says that Elisha was the same as you and I don't see how Elisha is even close to what you and I are. He did all kinds of things. Is everybody familiar with Elijah? Nobody. A few of you are. That's where he gets the story of, James gets the story about he prayed for rain to cease, and rain ceased for 3.5 years, and then God told him to pray again, and rain started. Now, it's an interesting story when the rain started that they had to hurry down off the mountain and get down to the flatlands, and I often wondered why that, because maybe it was going to rain too hard and they were going to get flooded down off the mountain. But that's an assumption on my part. Again, I do believe in the power of prayer. And then we say about confessing our sins. We are to confess our sins one to another. Well, my feeling is that you can confess them to God. You don't need to go to a priest or come to me or anybody else and say, these are my sins. I think you can if you need to. That's okay. Here again, it's okay if you want to, but you don't need to. I think confession comes directly to God. You have the power through the Holy Spirit to talk to God and deal with it in a way. Now, a lot of problems that we have are greater than simply that. We have addiction problems. We have all kinds of problems that people have, and they need people to help them. Is that a form of confessing your sins when you go to somebody and say, I need some help?
Yes.
I think it's more of an apology if you get something against somebody. You know, I think it's kind of right to let that person know.
Yes.
Sorry, that's confession.
Yes, that's a form of confession.
I think the first step is kind of that makes you recognize yourself that you need this help or that you need to change something. If you confess your sins to God, then you're admitting them to yourself at the same time.
Yes. And I think there are some sins that are just between you and God, and other problems that are greater social problems that you don't need to go get help for, and that's a form of confessing your sins. You're recognizing the need. And anybody will tell you that that's a very beginning, a part of the healing process. You have to recognize that you do have a problem before you can even solve your problem. There are those who say, no, you shouldn't go to the secular people. You should just pray. And across the Christian perspective, there's every kind of view you can think of. And this is a great problem that we have. And I don't know if it's necessarily just one particular way of doing it. But I do believe in medicine. And, I mean, we've heard of various different stories about people, parents who didn't take their children to get medicine and they died. And now they're being prosecuted for that. I think that's a sin. God gave us medicine. We should use it. And I think that, yes, there is power in prayer. But God also gave us medicine. We have to be common sense about some of these things and not get too far in the ditch. So then the last part of it talks about wandering from the truth and bringing somebody back. You have to read it. I think that's about reaching out to somebody who's in need of help and bringing them back. Now,
bring them like here to realize God and all that.
Yeah. I know James, if you're going to read James in a literal way, he's going to say, he's talking about a small group of people of believers. So he said, bring them back to this small group of believers. But nowadays, over 2,000 years later, so it's a little bit broader. So trying to apply some of these things that are said in a modern day world is difficult. We don't see things as demonic anymore necessarily, but I do believe in demonic spirits. I think there are that. But
isn't that though essentially saying that if only a small group of believers are the true ones or whatever, that it's what each religion over the years has tried to do?
Yes, they have. They still are doing it.
Yeah, yes. Well, Muslims at
Christians are really good at it too.
But that was why people first came to the United States, the first settlers, if you will. They came because they were persecuted.
Yeah, religious persecution, yes. We have the right to persecute. I mean, the right to express our religion and our faith as we see fit. But then that still opens up a big can of, you know, whatever people want to do. If they don't want to have medicine, you know, what can we say? You know, if a parent doesn't want to take their child to get medicine, a simple vaccine or a simple medicine, you know, does that fall under that parent's right to express their religion as they want?
I'd say, and this is just me, they have to be of an age of consent to use it themselves, or else they need to at least do preventative and careful things. You know, tried and true medications.
So there's a big thing about vaccines. Some people don't believe in vaccines. There's a certain percentage of people, kids that died, so they don't want to take vaccines.
And then they spread it to other kids. So.
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
You know.
So.
My daughter won't get vaccinated for the flu or anything.
Well, I'm not talking about flu. I'm talking about kids that go into school.
And she won't let the children either.
Oh.
So they don't get a measles vaccine or something like that.
We get
so
around
and expose other kids, and then you have an epidemic.
Well, we get around a little bit. She never has time to take them to the doctor because she works. So I take them, and the doctor looks at me and says, you know, they really need to be vaccinated for this. I say, go ahead.
Another big issue that's on the table that my Christianity Today talked about is the use of marijuana to heal. That's a big upcoming issue. It's going to be a big one.
My belief on that is because, like, it's not man-made. Actually, God he provided the leaves and all that of marijuana leaves. And some people say it's illegal, but why would God make the leaves?
Well,
he made poppy flowers too.
Yeah.
And alcohol and cigarettes.
Well, he didn't make alcohol. Man made alcohol. Noah fermented it. He was the first one.
Cigarettes, the leaves were good, but the man-made chemicals that went on them were not.
All I'm gonna say is it's gonna be a really big issue, and the church is gonna take a side on it, and is taking a side on it, and I can remember the movie a long time ago, Reefer Madness. I don't know if anybody ever watched that one. You know, and that has put up, yes, Dan.
Everybody says it's easier to break the habit of marijuana than it is cigarettes. So might better make cigarettes against the law and let them smoke marijuana.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a really big issue.
There's a lot that's in that tobacco and the cigarette.
Yeah.
It's really not the leaves of the tobacco that's wrong. It's the chemicals they spread on the leaves when they're growing to soak into it. Chemicals would do that.
I don't know. This is where our society is going, though. I mean, let's face it. The church should be involved, and it should be on top of the issue, and you should be thinking about it. And because, believe me, it's going to be a really big issue. And it's going to be another one of them gigantic ones. Anybody have anything else you want to say? I look at the prayer like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but your will be done. I think that's a very good example of prayer. And he does instruct us, and one of the other places in Luke that I will refer to is about the two men who are praying, Luke 18, 9 through 14. It talks about the one Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood up to pray in the middle of the street, and he says, I thank God that I am not like them other people. They're robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. He's saying, don't pray in that fashion. Don't make yourself out to be something greater than you are and say lengthy words and all this. But he says, the tax collector stood off in the distance, and he would not even look up to the heavens, but beat his breast, and that's a form of humility, and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so Jesus asked the questions. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who are humble themselves will be exalted. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I think that's the way I'm going to end this message. Amen.
Amen.
Christ Church, please do not feel obligated if you are a guest or if you cannot afford to give. Our services is our gift to you.
Take a look around you, tell me what you see. People here to worship the Lord, just like you and me. Some have come in gladness, some have come with fear, but all have come because they know that love. Some lives just beginning, some are near the end. Yet we come together, knowing He is near, once again reminding us that love grows here. Yes, love grows here, and all of us can share wonder and joy that it can bring. For God is near, teaching us to care and showing our hearts how to sing. Yes, love grows here. Yes, love.
Spread your word. Amen.